కృష్ణ గోప గోపీనాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిరాజ్ గోవర్ధన్ కీ జయ, గంగామాయి యమునామాయి కీ జయ, భక్తిదేవి తులసీదేవి కీ జయ, నవద్వీప్ మాయాపూర్ ధామ్ కీ జయ, పురుషోత్తమ క్షేత్ర జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కీ జయ, నితాయ్ గౌర ప్రేమానందే, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీర్ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 28 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ జ్ఞానయోగ. విల్ బి డిస్కస్సింగ్ టెక్స్ట్ 23, 24 అండ్ 25. టెక్స్ట్ 23. ఏవం స్ఫుటం బ్రహ్మ వివేక హేతుభీ పరాపవాదేన విశారదేన చిత్వాత్మ సందేహముపారమేత స్వానందతుష్టో కిల కాముకేభ్యః ఏవం స్ఫుటం బ్రహ్మ వివేక హేతుభీ పరాపవాదేన విశారదేన చిత్వాత్మ సందేహముపారమేత స్వానందతుష్టో కిల కాముకేభ్యః ఏవం స్ఫుటం బ్రహ్మ వివేక హేతుభీ పరాపవాదేన విశారదేన చిత్వాత్మ సందేహముపారమేత స్వానందతుష్టో కిల కాముకేభ్యః బ్రహ్మ వివేక హేతుభీ పరాపవాదేన విశారదేన చిత్వాత్మ సందేహముపారమేత స్వానందతుష్టో కిల కాముకేభ్యః ఏవం స్ఫుటం బ్రహ్మ వివేక హేతుభీ ಪರಾಪವಾದೇನ ವಿಶಾರದೇನ ಚಿತ್ವಾತ್ಮ ಸಂದೇಹಮುಪಾರಮೇತ ಆನಂದ ತುಷ್ಟೋ ಕಿಲ ಕಾಮುಕೇಭ್ಯಃ ಏವಂ ಸ್ಫುಟಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿವೇಕ ಹೇತುಭಿ ಪರಾಪವಾದೇನ ವಿಶಾರದೇನ ಚಿತ್ವಾತ್ಮ ಸಂದೇಹಮುಪಾರಮೇತ ಸ್ವಾನಂದ ತುಷ್ಟೋ ಕಿಲ ಕಾಮುಕೇಭ್ಯಃ ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಏವಂ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ ಸ್ಫುಟಂ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ಲಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ವಿವೇಕ ಹೇತುಭಿ ಬೈ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಮಿನೇಟಿಂಗ್ logical arguments para of misidentification with other conceptions apavadena by refutation visharadena expert chitva cutting off atma regarding the identity of the self ಸಂದೇಹಂ ಡೌಟ್ ಉಪಾರಮೇತ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಡಿಸಿಸ್ಟ್ ಸ್ವ ಆನಂದ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಓನ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಸಿ ತುಷ್ಟ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ಅಖಿಲ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಕಾಮುಕೇಭ್ಯ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಸ್ಟ್ Translation, thus clearly understanding the discriminating logic by the unique position of the absolute truth, one should expertly refute one's misidentification with matter and cut to pieces all doubts about the identity of the self. Becoming satisfied in the soul's natural ecstasy, one should desist from all lusty engagements of the material senses. Next two verses I'll read. Natma vapu parthivam indriyani deva hyasur vayur jalam hutasha ಮನೋನ್ನ ಮಾತ್ರಂ ದಿಶಣಾಚ ಸತ್ವಂ ಅಹಂಕೃತಿಕಂ ಕ್ಷಿತಿರರ್ಥ ಸಾಮ್ಯಂ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಮೇಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಎರ್ತ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದಿ ಟ್ರೂ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ನಾರ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರಿಸೈಡಿಂಗ್ ದೇವತಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಏರ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ನಾರ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟರ್ನಲ್ ಏರ್ ವಾಟರ್ ಆರ್ ಫೈರ್ or one's mind, all these are simply matter. Similarly, neither one's intelligence, material consciousness, nor ego, nor the elements of ether or earth, nor the objects of sense perception, nor even the primeval state of material equilibrium can be considered the actual identity of the soul. Text 25 samahitaika karanair gunaatma bir guno bhaven matsuvivikta damna vikshipyamanair utakimnu dushanam ganairupetair vigatairavekim For one who has properly realized my personal identity as the Supreme Godhead, what credit is there if he senses mere products of the material modes are perfectly concentrated in meditation? And on the other hand, what blame is incurred if his senses happen to become agitated? Indeed, what does it mean to the sun if the clouds come and go? Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord is considered eternally liberated because he has perfectly understood the Lord's transcendental personality and abode and is always engaged in serving the Lord's mission within this world. Although superficially such a devotee may appear agitated by events in the material world, while engaged in the Lord's mission, this does not change his exalted status as the Lord's eternal servitor. Just as the exalted status of the sun is not changed even when the sun is apparently covered by the clouds. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namavom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminyiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Can you give the Bhagavatam also? Skipping here. So today we are reading from the Jnana Yoga section, in which Krishna is actually mainly talking about the difference between the body and the soul. He says that one should, with one's proper discrimination, with one's intelligence, one should cut off all the doubts about the one's identity, and one should understand that how one is different from the body, how one is the soul, part and parcel of Supreme Lord. So with a discriminating logic, one should expertly refute one's misidentification with matter. And then the 24th verse, Krishna says that the living entity is neither the body, nor the mind, nor the senses. The living entity is neither the devatas who control the senses, nor the objects of sense perception. So all these are not the actual identity of the self. The actual identity is the soul. And then the 25th verse, what Krishna says is that a person who has properly realized my personal identity, realized my personal identity, the Supreme Godhead, when a living entity realizes the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then even if such a person, if a person has actually realized, then like what credit is there if his senses are perfectly concentrated in meditation? And what is the loss, or what is the, there is nothing to be blamed, suppose if his senses get deviated or become agitated. That means he's saying that like when a sun is there, sometimes the clouds come and go. So, like, there is no, if the clouds sometimes little bit cover the sun, or the clouds actually go away, but the sun is situated in its real glory. So similarly, if somebody has actually realized the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then even if sometimes, it's not a big deal that if his senses are engaged in meditation on the Supreme Lord, or it is not a big mistake sometimes if his senses become agitated. Because we have to focus that the person has ultimately accepted and internalized the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even if sometimes some temporary disturbances, then that's not to be blamed. Therefore, like Hridayananda Maharaj writes in the purport, a pure devotee is considered to be eternally liberated because he has perfectly understood the Lord's transcendental personality and is always engaged in serving the Lord's mission. Although superficially a devotee may appear agitated in the events of the material world, but still it does not change his exalted position as a servitor of the Lord. It's something we can say this verse is like similar to like apiche sudura charo bhajate mam ananya bhak. That is somebody, a devotee who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord, even if he sometimes gets agitated, even if he sometimes commits a mistake, he should be considered as a sadhu. Like sometimes we see in the scriptures also, like Dhruva Maharaj, such an exalted devotee of the Lord, but he got carried away by the anger, and then he went on to actually kill the yakshas more than it is necessary. And then, on the advice of Swayambhu Manu, he actually came to his senses. But even though, like, he got carried away with anger, but still, we cannot undermine his exalted status. So in the same way, Krishna is saying that, although such a devotee may appear agitated by events in the material world, this does not change his exalted status. In that way, Krishna is actually instructing us. Of course, from the point of view of the devotee, a devotee will not actually take advantage of these verses to justify one's mistakes. A devotee will actually repent for his whatever mistakes. So today, I thought of discussing about one of the first teaching of the Gita about the difference between the body and the soul. We see in the Dashamula Tattva written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So when he talks about the Jiva Tattva, he talks about the different opinions or different people about the soul. So this Jiva Tattva is also important to understand. One reason is that the holy name of the Supreme Lord is like the sun. But just like the sun gets covered by the mist of ignorance, or the mist and the clouds, so similarly, sometimes we are not able to access the pure holy name because we are covered by the mist of ignorance and the cloud of anarthas. And when we talk about the mist of ignorance, the ignorance can be four types of ignorance. Ignorance about the position of the Supreme Lord, and ignorance about the Jiva Tattva, and ignorance about the sadhana, and ignorance about the sadhya. So as long as a person is ignorant of these tattvas, Swatattva, Paratattva, Sadhana Tattva, and Sadhya Tattva, and this ignorance, which acts like a mist, it blocks us from accessing the pure holy name, which is like the sun. So in that sense, that the right understanding of the Jiva Tattva is important to access the pure holy name. And even otherwise, that when a person does not have understanding of the proper one's position of the Jiva Tattva, one of the reason for materialism, the rampant materialism which is prevalent, which we see in the society, okay, accessing the pure holy name, it may appeal to the devotees, they want to access the pure holy name. But even on a dharmic level, we see the rampant materialism in the world. And one of the reason for rampant materialism is that people identify with the body. People identify with the temporary material body, and then they simply try to gratify the body by any means. So, talking about the position of the soul, so those people who are in tamoguna, so they think that there is nothing called a soul. They feel that the jiva is actually born of matter. It means like they say that whatever self you are saying, it is nothing but matter only. Or the soul is actually the idea of life comes from chemicals. Life comes from chemicals. It is an idea of people who are in tamoguna. So people have this kind of idea. Those who are in tamoguna. And those who are in the mixture of tamoguna and rajoguna, they understand that human beings belong to the category of jiva. So they understand, okay, the soul is actually different from the matter. The tamoguna people think that soul is actually born of the matter. They equate the soul and the matter. Those who are a mixture of rajoguna and tamoguna, they understand, okay, there is a soul different from the matter, different from the material body, but only in the human bodies there are souls. But other species like animals and plants, in that there is no soul, and other species are meant to be exploited by the human being. So this kind of idea is also prevalent in some of the religions like Christianity and Islam, because they feel that other animals can be exploited, or even the so-called followers of maybe the Sanatan Dharma, those who actually don't feel that animals can be exploited according to one's own whims. So such people, they inherently have an idea that animals are meant for exploitation of the humans, and there are no souls in the animals. So such people, they accept that these people, they also don't accept that there was life before this birth, and there is life after death. So these people who are in the mixture of rajoguna and tamoguna, they feel that human beings have the souls, but those souls are born at the time of birth, and at the time of death they will die. There is no life after death, and there is no life before the birth. So they don't believe in reincarnation. So such people, these people are unable to solve the mystery of why some people are born in rich family and some people are born in a poor family. Because they don't have idea about the past karma and reincarnation. And then the third category, people who are in rajoguna. So their idea about the soul is that they feel that, all living entities, not only the human beings, even the aquatics, plants and animals, they also have souls. And they understand that there is rebirth, there is reincarnation, but they have no faith that a living entity can attain a state of pure transcendental spirituality. These people, they don't have belief that the soul can attain a purely spiritual body. They accept, there are souls in every living entity, and they accept the reincarnation, but then they feel that they can't accept the fact that we can get a spiritual body. And then the fourth category is those who are in the mixture of rajoguna and sattvaguna. So these people believe that the jivas, all the living entities have the souls, and they, of course, they also believe that there is reincarnation. But these people, in addition, they believe that the living entities can go to higher material existences. That means they accept that, oh, there is also life on other planets. By performing pious activities, we can elevate ourselves to the higher planets like Swargaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, etc. But in the previous category, those who are in the mixture of Tamoguna and Rajoguna, they don't accept the fact that, okay, there are higher material existences. Of course, they also don't accept there is a higher spiritual existence, but they don't even accept that there is higher material existence in the form of the higher planets within the material world. But those who are in Rajoguna, they accept that, okay, there are higher material existences like higher planets, Swargaloka, etc. Some of the scientists, they say there is life is there only on Earth. There is no life on other planets. So this idea is an idea of people who are in Rajoguna. But those who are in the mixture of Rajoguna and Sattvaguna, at least they accept that, okay, there is also life in the higher planets. But these people, they don't have faith that the jiva can go beyond the material realm and they can attain the transcendental realm. So in one sense, this category, those who are in the mixture of Rajoguna and Sattvaguna, we can say this is the idea of the Karma Mimamsa philosophers. Karma Mimamsa philosophy is that they feel that this material world is all in all. There is nothing called as liberation from the material world. You just keep performing pious activities and get elevated to the higher material planets. And then you actually, when your pious credits get exhausted, you will come back here, again perform pious activities. Again you get elevated to the Swargaloka. Again that way you keep going up and down. So they don't believe in actually there is something called as liberation beyond the material realm. So this is the Karma Mimamsa philosophers. So such people are having the idea of they are in the mode of Rajoguna and Sattvaguna, a mixture of Rajoguna and Sattvaguna. And then the fifth category is that those people who are in Sattvaguna, so they accept that the jiva's ultimate destination is something beyond the material realm. The ultimate destination of the soul is beyond the material realm, which is actually, but what is the destination? To actually attain the impersonal Brahman realization. So the Advaitavadis or the impersonalists, they come under this category. They feel that the ultimate destination of the soul is to merge into Brahman or to attain Sayujya Mukti. And within this people, within this particular category of people who are in Sattvaguna, who feel that the jiva's ultimate destination is to merge into Brahman, within that there are three categories. So one school of thought, they feel, their idea is that there is Brahman and there is the living entity. There is the impersonal Brahman and there is a living entity. And because of illusion, that illusion creates a difference between the Brahman and the living entity. So when the ignorance is dissipated, then the living entity becomes one with the Brahman. So they feel they have this idea of Ghatakash, Patakash. There is a air within the, there's a part is there. When the part gets broken, the air within the part, it actually merges into the air outside the part. So this is one group of, one school of thought within the people who are in Sattvaguna, who understand that the jiva's goal is to merge into Brahman. Another school of thought is that they say that Brahman is factual substance, and the jiva under the spell of ignorance is a mere reflection of the Brahman. The jiva is a mere reflection of the Brahman, but in truth, at no point jiva ever exists. In the first category, they understand, okay, jiva exists, but when the illusion is dissipated, when a person becomes liberated, jiva becomes one with the Brahman. But in the second category, they feel that actually in truth, that jiva never exists only. But whatever we see as a jiva or whatever we perceive as a jiva is only a mere reflection of the Brahman. And when the delusion, when the ignorance is dissipated, again the jiva's apparent existence is released. And then there is only Brahman. These are all different like flavors of the same, this one. And then there is a third school of thought, is that they feel that there is nothing which actually, in reality, nothing exists. Neither Brahman nor Jiva, nothing exists. A disturbance created by the great illusion, that only created all the differences and the distinctions. But actually, in reality, there is nothing, nothing exists. In that way, there are three schools of thought within that fifth category who believe that the ultimate destination of the soul is to actually merge into Brahman. But these three schools of thought, which I talked about in the fifth category, so these three schools of thought, they base their arguments based on the Vedas. And based on the Vedic statements, by interpreting the Vedic statements according to their own opinion, they actually come up with this wrong understandings. In fact, even the Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they also actually accept the Vedic authority, they also come up with their theory by selectively taking certain statements of the Vedas and neglecting other statements of the Vedas. So, but beyond all these different ideas about the soul, those who are in Tamoguna, the mixture of Tamoguna and Rajoguna, those who are in Rajoguna, so all these different categories, beyond this, there is the right understanding of the soul of a person who is beyond the three modes of nature. Somebody who is beyond the three modes of nature, and then who gives the right understanding of the soul, and that we find in the statements of the, say, Chaitanya Charitamrita, different scriptures, when Mahaprabhu starts his conversation with Sanatana Goswami, with the first actually teaching as Jivera Swarupu Hoi Krishnera Nitya Dasa. So we see the position of the soul is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna. He is the Tatastha Shakti of Krishna. Or Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. The Jivas are the Amshas of the Paramatma. So one sense we can actually understand the great fortune. Sometimes we take a clarity for granted. Sometimes day in and day out, okay, he hears some philosophy or we read Prabhupada's books. We almost in every page or every this one, we may hear the same thing. But because of hearing repeatedly, and sometimes we are in the community of the devotees, we hear that often different. And then because of that, we may take clarity for granted, but actually, there are so many different wrong opinions about the position of the soul. And that is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about all these different categories of opinions. And one may wonder, what is the need to actually understand all these opinions, etc.? Generally, a particular philosophy, particular thought process, that actually creates a particular way of functioning in the world. Like behind, if you see the different media, the newspapers and different media, there are certain people who have a particular kind of thought process and who influence the media. Like whether the Bollywood movies or the newspapers or the different leftist kind of like propaganda, there's a particular kind of thought process which is involved, and then they actually propagate the different news and this one in a particular way. So in the same way that these different ideas about the soul, they actually those ideas result in a particular way of functioning, and predominantly they actually impel a person to become more and more sinful. Okay, those people who are in sattva guna, who think that the jiva's ultimate destination is to merge into Brahman, okay, they may not be sinful on a material platform, but the other people, the karma mimamsa philosophers also, they may not act adharmically. They aspire to go for maybe higher material realm, swarga loka, but still they are also like wasting the valuable human form of life, which has a much higher purpose. But the previous three people, those who are in the mode of passion, ignorance, mixture of passion, ignorance, so their idea about the soul, actually it impels them to act in a sinful manner without thinking about the reactions in the next life, etc. So therefore, all these different opinions are very carefully presented by the acharyas, and then they mention I'm not able to open it. So therefore they come up with this, all these different opinions, and then we see even the Jiva Goswami, the Paramatma Sandarbha, he discusses in great detail about what is the position of the soul. In fact, he presents, he especially takes the Advaitavada opinion of the soul, like what is their idea of the soul, and then he refutes that. Why he doesn't actually refute the many different opinions about the soul by different philosophers, one is the Charvak philosophers, they have a particular opinion about the soul. Charvak philosophy is the materialism. Krishna also talks about in the second chapter, I think 26, 27th verse, that they are called as Lokayatas. And then there are the Nyaya philosophy and Vaisheshika philosophy. They have a particular idea about the soul. Jain philosophy, they have a particular idea about the soul. So all these different philosophers, they have a particular idea about the soul. But the Advaitavadis, they have done a fairly good job in actually defeating the different opinions about the soul by all these philosophers, like Charvak philosophy, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Karma Mimamsa, Sankhya. So then Jiva Goswami, he deals with only the Advaitavadi's opinion about the soul. So that is called as actually a particular Nyaya called as the Pradana Malla Barghana Nyaya. Like if you want to be the expert wrestler, or the top wrestler, then you just fight with one wrestler who has defeated all the other wrestlers. Suppose there are 50 wrestlers are there, but one person has defeated 48 wrestlers. Then you just deal with that particular wrestler who has defeated 48 wrestlers. If you defeat him, you are the champion of the 50 wrestlers. So similarly, the Advaitavadis have actually refuted all the opinions about the soul of these other philosophers. So Jiva Goswami mainly deals with the Advaitavadi's opinion about the soul, and then he deals with that, he refutes their opinion. And then Jiva Goswami, in the Paramatma Sandarbha, he quotes the Jamatramuni. Jamatramuni is a is an acharya in the Sri Sampradaya. So he has quoted a verse. Of course, this verse, there is a verse in the Padma Puran which talks about the qualities of the soul. So Jamatramuni has taken that verse and also he has added some points. So Jiva Goswami quotes the Jamatramuni as well as the Padma Puran. And then he talks about the 21 qualities of the soul. And then he takes all these 21 qualities. For each of these 21 qualities, he gives a reference from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gives a reference from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where this quality is described in which all verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because right in the Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami is actually proved that Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest pramana. And then after proving that, for every, like whatever concept he wants to actually give, for everything he actually quotes a reference from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So for all these 21 qualities, which he actually describes from the Jamatramuni's verse and the Padma Purana, he actually quotes the different Srimad Bhagavatam verses. So in that way, we find that our acharyas have done, they have gone into great detail to actually instruct us about the Jiva Tattva. And then, if we see in the Bhagavad Gita, especially, I want to discuss like also this particular verse, how Krishna actually talks about the position of the soul. Like when Krishna talks about the position of the soul in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that one of the recurring theme in the Bhagavad Gita when he talks about the soul is that, therefore, do not lament. Nainam shochita margasi, naivam shochita margasi. In fact, one of the main theme of the Bhagavad Gita, the main message of the Bhagavad Gita is that do not lament. Because that comes in the beginning. And also in the end, when Krishna says that ma shuchaha, do not lament. And also it is repeated many times. So if you want to understand the subject of a book, you have to see the beginning, end, that which is being repeated. Similarly, other criteria. Therefore, Krishna, when he talks about the position of the body and the soul, he says that, do not lament. So, for example, Krishna says that, avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate tasma devam viditvainam nanu shochita margasi. He says the soul is imperceptible, achintya, it is inconceivable, that means it is beyond logic. Avyaktoyam, achintyoyam, avikaryoyam. Avikarya means it is not subject to the six changes which the body undergoes. Body undergoes six changes, but the soul does not undergo. And the tasmat evam viditvainam nanu shochitam argasi. So therefore, that understanding this, one should not lament. To the extent that you know the nature of the Atma with certainty, you will no longer lament. So, this is not simply a theoretical understanding, because we see that one of the common problem in Kali Yuga is that lamentation or depression. So, this understanding of the Jiva Tattva or the fear of death, the understanding of the Jiva Tattva, it will, all these, in fact, all the five chapters, all the five topics mentioned in the Gita, they have a very practical benefit in dealing with the different problems of life, like people lamenting or going into depression, or the practical benefit in the form of like reducing the sinful activities in the world. So, and then, of course, Krishna gives the different analogies. Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya. And then Krishna, when he speaks this verse, Ashcharyavat kashyati, Ashcharyavat pashyati kashchitenam, Ashcharyavat vadati tataiva chanya, Ashcharyavat chainam anya shrinoti, Shrutva pienam vedana chaiva kashchit. So Krishna speaks this amazing verse where he says that the soul is actually amazing. Different acharyas have given beautiful points on this verse. They say that acharyavat pashyati, that means although the jiva is knowledge itself, the jiva also takes the role of a knower. Therefore, it is something amazing. Although the jiva is very small, but it is spread throughout the body. It is spread throughout the body. And this is also something amazing. Of course, we have many practical examples that a bulb is there in one part of the, say, room, but then its influence is there throughout the room. Or the example of a sun, or sometimes there are certain medicines which are applied, which are taken, you just take in the mouth, but then its influence is there throughout the body. So, and then another reason why soul is perceived as amazing is that because the soul is amazing because people understand that the soul is in completely different, people understand the soul in completely different ways. Some people say that, some people think that, like we saw the different opinions about the soul. Soul is actually equated with the matter. Soul is actually there only in the human beings, etc. In that way, people have so many different opinions about the soul. Like some philosophers, they say that soul is actually, it's not, it cannot be infinitesimal. Because if it is infinitesimal, how can it be all-pervading? And they say that soul cannot be having the size, cannot be having a medium size. Because if it is a medium size, it can be further divided into smaller parts. Then, if it is further divided into smaller parts, then the soul can, soul cannot be eternal. So therefore, the soul cannot be of medium size, because the soul is of medium size, it loses its quality of eternality. Therefore, the soul cannot be medium size and soul cannot be infinitesimal, and the soul has to be only infinite in size. So like that, different people have different opinions. But again, this particular opinion, when they say the soul is infinite in size, because they don't understand the inconceivable nature of the soul. The inconceivable nature, the soul is actually beyond logic. That means it can be infinitesimal, at the same time it can be all-pervading. That is because of the achintya shakti of the Lord. In that way, different philosophers have different opinions about the soul. And another reason why the soul is actually astonishing is that the person who has some people, since the truth about the science of Atma is very difficult to understand, the Atma, the person who instructs about the Atma, the instruction itself and the audience, all are actually amazing. In other words, only some very rare, great people look upon the soul as amazing, and some very rare people hear about the soul as amazing, and most of the audience, even after hearing these instructions from one who is a tattvavid, but still they cannot realize the Atma, and this is something most amazing. So we see the example in the Bhagavatam itself. Like Hiranyakashipu in the 7th canto, when he was pacifying the relatives of Hiranyaksha, he spoke about the difference between the body and the soul. But even though he spoke about the difference between the body and the soul, he spoke the Jiva Tattva perfectly. But even after speaking that, he actually performed austerities in order to attain immortality on the bodily platform. And that is what Krishna says, that somebody may speak even about the exact position of the Atma, but still they may be completely acting on the bodily platform. And that is the amazing nature of the soul. Somebody may hear exactly about the Atma Tattva, but still one may act on the bodily platform. And this is something amazing. And That is why Krishna, in the Vishna Chakatipat says that, that person, so therefore how to actually realize the Atma Tattva? Even if we have the right understanding of the soul, in one sense we are given the right understanding of the soul, Mahaprabhu, when we come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, like if we read few pages, even in 1-2 pages we understand, we get the right understanding of the soul. But then how do we get that realization? So that person who has attained the mercy of the Guru and has a pure heart realizes the true nature of this astonishing jiva with contrary qualities. Through the performance of prescribed duties and by practicing different principles like truthfulness, austerity, etc., one can actually realize the soul. So therefore, it is not that simply we get a theoretical understanding and we can actually understand the soul. Like one has to, there is a lifestyle, one has to practice, one has to perform the prescribed duties in the mood of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And one has to follow the different dharmic principles like truthfulness, austerity, mercifulness. And one has to serve the Guru and then by all these elements, one can actually realize the soul. Huh? So therefore, like we see that in that purport, if we read Prabhupada's purport there, Prabhupada talks about the importance of chanting of the holy names and importance of performing the prescribed duties. And that is why when Krishna presented this understanding of the soul, one of the driving point of Krishna is not inaction, but rather Arjuna should perform his action. Because another mistake is that sometimes they present the idea of the body and soul, but they make people inactive. And the purpose of Krishna speaking about the soul is to make Arjuna act, to make Arjuna perform his Kshatriya Dharma, in the mood of Nishkama Karma Yoga, for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, because that is how one can actually realize the truth about the soul. So, in fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, if we see, Krishna speaks about the difference between the body and the soul, but in the very next verse, he addresses Arjuna by the word Kaunteya and Bharata. Matras Parshastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukha Dukkada Agama Apaino Nityas Tam Titikshaswa Bharata. The Kaunteya and Bharata, they both are actually words in relation to his bodily relation. In fact, out of the 25 words which Krishna uses Arjuna to address in the Bhagavad Gita, out of that 16 words are actually in relation to the body. Bharata Sattama, like that, so many words are actually in relation to the body. So when Krishna is, why actually Krishna is speaking like that? Because Krishna wants to remind Arjuna of his Kshatriya Dharma and was going away from his Kshatriya duty. For example, certain Western countries, when we see the history of some of the countries, say if you see the American history or even some of the other Western countries, that there is a tremendous violence which has happened. The Native Americans were killed by the invaders in many of the countries. And many of the, when Prabhupada actually, this one way of reasoning is that when Prabhupada spoke about the difference between the body and soul, many of the, say, sensitive Americans or sensitive who are sensitive people from the Western background, they knew the history of those countries and they didn't want to identify themselves with those countries because it had such a bad history of exploiting the local people and so much of violence were involved. And when Prabhupada spoke about the difference between the body and soul, and they felt relieved actually. Oh, we don't want to identify with this identity. We don't want to identify ourselves as this, say, this particular identity as American or a Britisher, like that. So they felt relieved and that helped them. But if we see the same thing, the body and soul in the Indian context, like whichever state you may be coming from, but the identity in the Indian context, it is actually connected with such a rich culture and lineage of so many kings who come in the different dynasties of Raghu Vamsha or Surya Vamsha. In fact, every culture has such a rich dynasty, such rich culture is there. And then the remembrance of that identity, that will help a person to act actually responsibly. And that will help a person to act responsibly. So therefore, Krishna, in the case of Arjuna also, he actually reminded Arjuna by addressing in different ways. Kaunteya, you are the descendant of Bharata. So, you are a descendant of Bharata. When we talk about the descendant of Bharata, you are the descendant of Bharata. The Bharata can refer to three personalities. Like, all of us have taken birth in the Bharata Varsha. So, when a person who is conscious of the culture, that means he understands Bharata Varsha means Bharata can refer to three personalities. The brother of Lord Ram, or the Rishabhadev's son, Bharat Maharaj, or Shakuntala and Dushyanta's son, Bharat. Now, all three personalities were very glorious people. If you see the brother of Lord Ram, Bharat, his character was that, like, he performed his responsibility as a king, but without taking even a little bit of facility of actually the king. So if you identify with that person, when you say, I'm an Indian, I'm a Bharat Varsha, how it will actually transform a person? How it will make a person very responsible? And if you take the Shakuntala and Dushyanta's son, Bharat, like what was his glory? Like that Bharat, he had, I think, 9 sons. But he saw that all his 9 sons were actually unqualified to become the king. Then he did not appoint any of his 9 sons as a king, but he appointed somebody else who is qualified as the king. That means he gave preference to the benefit of the whole country rather than that my own family member should become the king. Like we see political parties, there's people who are utterly unqualified. So just because one person comes in a family, that person is promoted as the leader. But whereas, like, when we study this character of Bharat, like, he didn't give preference to his family or dynasty. He gave preference to the benefit of the kingdom. And that is how, when Vidura would actually advise Dhritarashtra, he would say that, in your own dynasty, we see the example of Bharat, who gave preference to the kingdom rather than his own unqualified son becoming the king. So therefore, why don't you take that example and why are you actually adamant that your son should become the king? And then if you see the character of Rishabhadev's son, Bharat Maharaj, then what was his character? Like Prabhupada says in the 5th canto purport, when he talks about Bharat Maharaj's renunciation, he says that Bharat Maharaj's renunciation proves that Krishna is all attractive. Because Bharat Maharaj had such wealth and he was the emperor of the whole planet. He had such beauty that it was envied even by the devatas of heavenly planets. But still, Bharat Maharaj was attracted to the opulences of Krishna. And because of that, he actually gave up his opulences just like a person would give up the stool. When he gets nature's call, he actually gives up stool and then he never turns back to see that, oh, I have given up something useful, oh, let me go and collect it. One never thinks like that. So similarly, Bharat Maharaj's renunciation was born out of like extreme attraction to Krishna that he never turned back to accept what he gave up. So in that way, when we talk about Bharat Varsha or being a person in the Bharat Bhumi, that any person who is aware of the culture and who is aware of the history, he will remember, okay, Bharat Varsha means this refers to these three personalities. All these three personalities are glorious. So in that way, although it is a bodily identity, but this bodily identity will actually impel a person to perform one's responsibility without actually fighting for one's rights. And this identity will actually impel a person to develop attraction towards Krishna, to develop the conviction that Krishna is all attractive. And this bodily identity will actually will help a person to give preference to the, say, larger society than to one's own selfish interest. So in that way, there is the knowledge of the difference between the body and soul, and also the application of that. So the understanding of the different, the true identity of the soul, you should actually impel a person to act on the platform of the soul. To act on the platform of the soul, that means that acting as a servant of Krishna, and then to act on the platform of dharma, performing one's duties in the mood of Nishkama Karma Yoga for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So in that way, we find that we find like this understanding which we get from the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna speaks about the difference between the body and soul. So to summarize, what we discussed today was that we discussed about the different actually understanding of the people about the identity of the soul, those who are in tamoguna, those who are in the mixture of tamoguna and rajoguna, those who are in rajoguna, sattvaguna, and then what is the true understanding of the soul, jivera swarupohai krishnera nityadas. And then we discussed about how in the Paramatma Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami, like, he goes into great detail to actually establish the true identity of the soul. He talks about the 21 qualities of the soul. I didn't go through all these 21 qualities, but he quotes Jamatra Muni and actually describes all those 21 qualities based on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we discussed how when Krishna presents this understanding of the difference between the body and soul, that he says that how the soul is amazing. One thing I wanted to mention in that Ascharyavat Pashyati Kashchitenam. So each line, the word Ascharya comes. Ascharya means soul is amazing. But the word Ascharya can be taken to actually describe the soul or the person or the act. It means like some amazing people see the soul, or some people see the soul as amazing, or some people amazingly see the soul, or some amazing people hear the soul, hear about the soul, or some people amazingly hear about the soul, or some people hear the soul as amazing. In that way, the word Ascharya can be used as an adjective for either the person or the subject matter or the act of seeing or hearing. In that way, multiple different meanings can be derived out of that. And we also discussed that although a person may speak about the Jiva Tattva, but to realize the Jiva Tattva, one needs the mercy of the Guru, and one needs to actually live a life based on Dharma, and one needs to follow the spiritual principle, then a person can realize the soul. Otherwise, we have the example of Hiranyakashipu, who spoke about the soul, but after that he actually endeavored to attain immortality on the platform of body. And then we discussed that how the although Krishna spoke about the difference between body and soul, but he addressed Arjuna in relation to his bodily identity in order to remind his great family heritage, to inspire him to actually perform his duty. So with this, I'll stop the class. If anybody has any comments or points, questions, I can add. Krantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki chai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki chai.